I'm Bill Kratke, and I'd like to welcome you to today's edition of Living in Baltimore. Our guest today is Mr. Keith Murphy, who is with the Maryland Commission on Civil Rights, and Keith is here to talk to us about civil rights and COVID and what the state is doing to make sure that folks can be protected, and it still goes on even in COVID. So, Keith, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Bill. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you so much for coming. First of all, let me make a note that we are recording this remotely.
Okay.
And during COVID, and I hope everybody is social distancing and acting responsibly. And I'll stop peppering folks after that. But anyway, that is a sincere wish for your continued health out there in Baltimore. Anyway, Keith, first of all, could you tell us a little bit about the commission?
Sure. The Maryland Commission on Civil Rights is the state's anti-discrimination, anti-harassment agency that investigates complaints in housing, employment, and public services and accommodations. And I think coming in the fall, we will also add health care to that.
Wow.
So that might be something that's being added to our law for our as protecting people if they're being denied health care access. And we're seeing that especially on the federal level where lots of things like on health care and discrimination are being rolled back. And so people are going to have to use their states as a protection. So we investigate and enforce the law, Title 20, which makes sure that everyone has equal access to employment and in housing and in public services and accommodations.
Uh-huh.
So we also provide free education and outreach services. So we are up and going online training. We're using Google Meets. And so if your agency, company, business, nonprofit wants us to come in and do some training. We do things like diversity. We do conflict resolution. We do know your rights. We do a lot of different kinds of training, and you can go to our website to check that out. And so that would help you to see kind of, I'll look on the education page to see what we offer. And then, you know, contact me at keith.murphy@maryland.gov, and you can we can set up a training.
Great, great. How can someone find out more information about the commission?
Well, you can always check the internet if you have access. And hold on just a second. I am going to go right to that. And so I want to give you the exact address. You can go directly to it and some of the things. So you can go to mccr.maryland.gov.
Okay, great. So that's mccr.maryland, all spelled out, .gov.
Correct, lowercase, all of that. And you'll see, you know, things like about, you can go to the home page, the home. You can it tells more about us, our publications that you can download. You can look on the site and see education. You'll see staff and all of that, and all the kind of things that we do along with the commission.
So the best way to get in touch with the commission is through the website or by telephone right now?
You can do telephone as well. We have people that do answer. We're all not back in the office quite yet, as I'm sure you would know. So most of us are working from home at this time. But we do have people in like three times a week, and they do check messages. So if you call in at 410-767-8600, you can navigate our system to go to file a complaint under our intake unit or education through our intake unit. I mean, through our education unit, sorry.
Great. Thank you. What is your position and work with the commission?
Well, I'm an education and outreach associate, so my main position is really going out, doing programming, training, outreach events, which have been kind of curbed at this point. We lost a lot of our outreach events for the summer that we used to go and do, everything from health fairs to gay pride events to Juneteenth events. And so we've been kind of hamstrung by that. But we are still going to things like the local Human Relations Commission meetings, making sure of our presence and getting our information out that way. many of the, for example, some of the Gay Pride actually had some online activity going on, but not the traditional, let's go to Frederick or Baltimore or Hagerstown for the event. And we're seeing that maybe through the fall, too. I don't know that we're going to be hearing from any kind of on-site, like, kind of outreach events. But we do still do education. So we can set up a training for you. We do PowerPoint presentations through Google Meets. We can have 20 to 50 people on it at a time. So we'd love to do it for you.
Wow, that sounds great. And they can get in touch with you at keith.murky@maryland.gov.
Correct, correct.
Wonderful, wonderful. Let's talk about, you've talked a little bit, of course, about how the commission is adjusting to the COVID crisis.
Right.
But, do you want to add anything to the
Well, one of the things that... Right. For example, we don't encourage people to come. We used to have people come to the office.
Right.
To do file complaints, and at this point, I would say you can file on, you can file by phone, you can check online, you can send letters, and they will be connecting, the intake unit will connect you with what you need to do from there.
That's convenient.
That would be much more convenient. We're still having complaints come in. We were just informed that HUD and EOC recognized that we were considered the top agency for the region in completing complaints and investigations.
Wow, congratulations.
Yes, so that's we're very happy about that.
So that also means to folks out there that the commission is ready and extra willing to help you.
That's right, because we know during this time things start to happen. People start losing jobs,
yep.
And it might be because they're being shut down. It might not be for a discriminatory reason, or they're being or housing. You know, people may be losing their apartments or having trouble.
Yeah.
But this may be a time that if a person, and I'm not saying all people are, but there are people that may use what's happening to clean house. And that might be in apartments, it might be in jobs, because they'll get rid of the people they don't like.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It might be for a discriminatory reason, but they're using what's happening, you know, economically and in our world. We have to be aware of that, because everyone has a right to file a complaint. We may not find that there's any evidence that supports that, but you have a right to file. And the thing that I want to really point out is that if you file a complaint and then you're treated differently, that's just, that is something else we investigate, retaliation. And at this point, retaliation and harassment are our top forms of how people are treated differently in the workplace.
Really?
Yes. So it's discrimination on all of our protected classes, but harassment, both sexual and other forms of harassment, and retaliation are the highest. They surpass race.
Wow. Boy, what a thing.
It is. It is. And because one of the reasons what our law changed was that for any forms of harassment, you only have to have one employee for you to be considered at our agency. It used to be 15 or more for discrimination. So it's 15 employees or more for employment discrimination. But for sexual harassment and other forms of harassment, it only takes one person on staff.
I know that HUD is on a special initiative regarding harassment.
Mm-hmm. Right. Because even in housing, people think of harassment or retaliation more for, you know, employment. But think that we've had the cases with the housing complexes where they were trading sexual favors for getting your apartment fixed. So those kind of things, or will reduce your rent if you go out with me, kind of thing. So that's been going on for many years, and it continues to go on.
How would you define harassment? In other words, what should folks look for?
Well, you look for when you're treated, when you're harassment includes, like, it could be verbal, nonverbal. It is someone that is a continuous harassing form, meaning that it goes on for a period of time. It's not just a one-time event. Some things may only occur once, and that's considered harassment. Like, for example, assaulting someone one time, you don't have to repeat it. So there is no set number. The person that causes harassment, how they perceive it. So it's ongoing. It is considered, it sets the tone for a workplace or even a rental place or a housing place. It sets the tone for other people to recognize it, and they themselves then are afraid.
Yeah.
So it doesn't it doesn't interact with that one person. It's like people that see it and are a part of it.
Yeah, and, and of course it's verbal and it's actions.
Right, verbal, nonverbal. It could include harassing notes, emails. It could, you know, all of that sexting. All of those things can fall under that. It could also involve just the use of foul language, a continual use of foul language.
Yeah.
Most of our foul language may be based in sexuality. When you use those terms all the time versus once in a great while, it could accumulate. So we talked about. That how a person feels about it, it's ongoing and continuous and creates a hostile environment, intimidating, hostile environment.
What would you recommend to folks that are listening or their friends or colleagues that are not quite sure about whether they fit into these categories?
Well, what I would do is always call our intake unit, and they will go over that with you. You can tell them your story, right, at the 767-8600 number.
Okay.
Or you can also send an email through our website as well, through the Contact Us.
Right, and it's confidential until the formal complaint is made?
Right, it's all confidential, and even then it's confidential to most people except for those that are involved.
Confidential and free.
And free, yes. There's no charge for our services whatsoever, whether it's education, whether it's investigation.
Okay. That's great. That's great. And you folks do a wonderful job. Maryland is truly lucky to have, excuse me, a commission that has been lauded, as you folks have, for doing more than the law.
And that's a part of it, too, because we realize we are a part of it.
Yeah.
We're a part of it. You know, as staff members, we live in the state of Maryland, and these things can happen to us, too, where we live.
That's right.
So, especially in housing, it can happen. I've experienced it not in a negative way, but in a strange way, you know, someone was steering me to a neighborhood that they thought I would be happier in than a neighborhood that I versus a house I was interested in.
Yeah, that goes on too often, and
that's
against the law.
It is steering people, and whether it's their intent was like, I like you, and I want to steer you to a neighborhood that'll be safe or good for you. You're still steering. Treat people like an adult. What I would say with that is say, look, here are your options. I want you to go look at them. I want you to drive by them morning, noon, night, and then come back to me if you still want to see it. Let me know.
Yeah. Yeah.
But if you yourself as a real estate agent directs people, that's illegal.
Yeah, and if you are directed, that is illegal.
Now, one of the things that's interesting is our real estate agents in Maryland have been very instrumental and helpful in targeting and figuring out if someone is doing discrimination as a seller. Because if your seller says, I don't want you to sell to persons of Middle Eastern descent, the real estate agent says, I can't do that. That is illegal.
Good for them.
Because their license is on the line, too.
Right, right. And they can lose their license.
They can lose their license. And so if they may say, I can't, then I can't represent you. Now, if you sell by owner, people who sell by, you know, sell their house on themselves are a little different than, they don't have licenses, you know, so they can't be removed.
Right.
But if things happen with neighbors, when neighbors they treat new people moving in badly. That's also part of what we look at.
Great. And again, if you have a question about whether it is discrimination or not discrimination or whether it's harassment or not, make that free call.
That's right. Just give us a call. Now, of course, as you know, with COVID, it may take us a little bit longer to get back to you than normal. Somebody might be in the office when you call, or they may have to be returned when they come in the next day.
Okay.
So I think that's what you want, you know, for everybody to know, is that sometimes it may take a little bit back because we're not always in the office. So that's something that, you know, that we really, really want to emphasize, that even though you don't hear from us that day, you know, we'll get to you.
Okay. Great. Unfortunately, though, we're getting near the end. Is there anything you'd like to add about anything special coming up?
Well, I would say that we'd have some special things coming up, except we're just kind of, you know, working on what we've got. We don't have any major events coming up that might be coming out soon. So what I would say is just that if you think something's going on, don't just wonder. Give us a call or send us a note through email, and we will look at it.
Great. And that continues whether COVID or not.
That's correct.
Indeed. Unfortunately, though, that's all the time we have on Living in Baltimore today. I want to thank our guest, Mr. Keith Murphy, who is an Education Outreach Associate with the Maryland Commission on Civil Rights, for being our guest today. Thank you, Keith.
Thanks, Bill.
Keep up your good work for all of us.
I appreciate it.
And for Living in Baltimore, I want to thank you for tuning in. Let's try to be a good neighbor out there in all of our neighborhoods, and we'll see you next time.